Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn, and I am deeply grateful that you chose to be with me on this beautiful, beautiful 25th day of April, 2020. It's been a tough go, hasn't it, for a lot of people. A lot of people. There have been many who have suffered grievously through this whole thing, and that you could get into the politics and all of the other things that people like to get into, but basically, what good would that do you? In the end, this is all about thee and me, huh? About the state of our mind, the state of our emotions, and how they affect our body, and what is going on within our bodies regarding all of that. There are so many things happening within a person. It is a complicated affair, and I get emails now flooding me with why this, why that, how did this happen, can we stop that? And so I want you to know, obviously, I am no medical expert, okay? So these are things that I am going to be saying to you that are based only on my research and what I've learned, and it could all be wrong, all of it. And I don't want you to take it to the bank, as it were, inside yourself. I would prefer that you open up your intuition. You start to learn how to live intuitively outside your body, living inside your heart, doing things that really should have been done many years ago that most people just didn't do. But if you really practice this effort of living intuitively, things could be very different for you, and this could all be something of a great significance in your life. So I have picked three questions that came to me last week, and they're kind of can you explain questions. So I'm going to kind of entitle this radio program, Can You Explain? And I hope that this serves you well. First one comes from Kay in Los Angeles. She is always emailing me. And Kay, thank you for your kindness and your kind words and support. I deeply appreciate it. She says, Greg, can you explain human fear? And then she goes into her email about how it is running rampant in her life and her family's life and the people that she knows. One of the things that we do not appreciate, and it is very hard for most people to cogitate in their mind, is the power of energy and the energetics that predispose us to all sorts of things in our life, both things that are some people would call good and things that some people would call not so good. So I'm going to just say that as the premise here of my my effort to help you. Human fear comes out of my DNA, your DNA. It is the fear of survival, and that's purely animalistic, as it were, in us. We are animals in our body. And most people choose to live solely and entirely upon the animal that they have been given in their lifetime, to live out our life according to the needs of the body. Most people don't have any other inclination but the needs of their body. And when the body starts to say, hey, I need this, the emotions are awakened. They're nudged. They're tweaked. And pretty soon, those emotions start turning into thoughts. And when the body trembles in fear that it isn't going to get the things it wants, the things that it thinks it needs, the things that it deems as vital or important, that's when fear starts to set in. And the mind goes through all sorts of gyrations, right, wrong, good, bad, moral, immoral, goes through all sorts of details as to how to obtain whatever it thinks it needs in order to sustain itself in this world. And that's as far as it basically goes. Doesn't go any further than that. My fear is based on a chemical reaction in my body, in my brain, and it starts sending off messages and impulses, electronic impulses, to my brain and telling me there is something to be frightened about here, and danger, danger, danger. And anything that seems to endanger the body, the mind, the ego, the vanity, the pride, this can go all the way down the line to the worst parts of us. We just keep going and going and going with this. So, can I explain fear? You can go on the internet and Google fear and learn about the chemical reactions to it all and how it all works. Anybody can do that. But the psychology of fear itself is a very difficult thing to explain to people because it runs so rampant. It seems so normal. We live in nothing but fear. We live in the causation of it as a human being. We live in the animosity of it, in our fears of other people and our basic disregard for ourselves. And if you really looked at fear inside, though most people would not agree with this, it is something involuntary, yet I choose it. I choose it. And a lot of the choice of fear is based on the adrenaline that I'm addicted to within my body. This adrenaline tells me that I'm alive or makes me believe I'm alive. It gives me, in my youth, it will give you a sense of challenge, dynamic purpose, point of origin in life. It's infectious too, very infectious. In fact, systemic. If you really look at it, our whole world runs off fear. Nothing more, nothing less. It's all about the fear. How am I going to deal with my fear? We will even pay money to be frightened. We go to movies that frighten us, scare us. We like that. It's the adrenaline. It's the chemicals that rush through our bodies and make us feel as though we're whatever we are. And we like to think we get away with it. But you see, the problem with fear in this way, Kay, is that we are actually training the animal, in my case, the Gregory, to enjoy fear and need a certain amount of it. A certain amount of that adrenaline, a certain amount of that fear. We live in it, we want it, we desire it. It's a part of our life that we treasure as a form of entertainment. I know that sounds insane, but it's true. It is a form of entertainment. And because we live in the shackles of that and we truly believe that that's okay to do, we do it. Now, there is nothing I could say or do to tell you how bad that is for human beings. Do you remember in the 60s? Well, those of you who lived in them, in the 60s, smoking and cancer were linked together. And they had movie stars go on the television. Yul Brynner, I remember, was one of them. And the other one was the actor in the Perry Mason burger. I don't know what his name was. They would get on the TV and tell you not to smoke because they were dying of cancer of the lungs. And that is something that people, you know, watched and actually ignored. Most people just thought, well, that's your tough luck or whatever. And that was the end of that. It never went much further. I thought it was very noble. I remember sitting there as a kid thinking, wow, that's pretty brave to do. But here's the deal. No matter how they begged people not to smoke, they did it anyway. And it's still going on now. People have a basic need to be frightened. And they also have a basic need to think they're beyond what frightens them. And that's another chemical that comes into our body. And muddies up the situation. Most of our decisions in this lifetime, if you really look at it, Kay, were based in fear. If I do this, which is maybe something I don't want to have happen, that will happen, so I don't do this, or I do this to prevent that from happening. We live around fear. We do not live around love. We do not live around the nature of our lifetime, understanding birth and death, understanding life and death. We just don't do it. We refuse to do it because it's not in our psyche. It's not in our human psychology. It's not our pathology at all. So we just keep going on the same way over and over and over again. People want to keep doing the things that most frighten them with the hope that it won't affect them. And that's the way people live. It is not intelligent, but it is popular. And it spreads like wildfire. Well, there you are, Kay. I hope that helps. Please forgive me. Namaste. The next question comes from Raymond. He does not tell me where he lives. Greg, can you tell me how to have faith in these dire times? I find that I lose my hope and faith very quickly, Raymond. He also goes into his need to read Bible scriptures. He thinks that that will help him, and so he talks about his favorite Bible scriptures, but none of them seem to help him sustain his faith. What is faith? Is it an intellectual effort? Is faith something that most people can only hope for, and they live in the hope of something happening, the hope of something good happening? What is faith? Well, it usually entails the idea of a belief, a thought, which is a belief in knowledge or in the concept of what is possible, what is real, what maybe a person can rely upon. What is faith? True faith, authentic faith, is intangible. You can't nail it down in a person. It is something they have come to deeply know. They know it. They know how it is within them. They don't even know it's faith. It's just something you know. And in these times, there are certain people who have worked upon themselves, who don't have any faith at all. There are people who haven't worked on themselves and have faith. There are people who just don't know what faith is and just hope. So there's all sorts of degrees of this. To me, faith is the result of listening to something deep inside that is inexplicable. That's all it is. It is listening to that still small voice inside that is beyond the concepts of human urge, human desire. It is something you come to know inside. And you can't explain your knowing this. People who have never meditated have faith. I have seen it. People who have never meditated. And why? Because they listen to something inside themselves that is beyond the confines of their intellect, of their human genetic nature. So they are able to listen beyond the ideas, ideals, and concepts that the mind offers. There's something they intuitively know. In this day and age right now, with everything going the way it is, if a person has not developed their faith, if they have not developed their intuition to have a knowledge, a knowingness, I should say, that is beyond their knowledge, beyond the situation, the conditions, beyond everything, if they don't have that, it's going to be a rough go. And reading Bible scriptures or reading positive thoughts is not going to change anything. It isn't going to change what is going on in their life. You have to develop an inroad to your, from your heart to your brain, your authentic heart. You have to have that inroad, that place inside, that still small voice. It is in the stillness of our being that we find authentic faith. It goes beyond the concept of a belief. Authentic faith has nothing to do with a thought. Like, oh, I like that thought, I'll have faith in it. I like that thought, and I will be positive. It isn't about that at all. It is about the state of my being and how it operates intuitively to reach beyond the confines of my mental premise, my mental thinking, my pedestrian mentality, and move beyond that into the light of the authentic. Actually, this is accentuated through meditation. Some people just have that. And then when they do begin the practice of their meditation, it is very powerful because they have already got the guidelines and have set up everything within themselves to appreciate the authentic, to appreciate how this all works. It is a form of deep compassion. If you practice compassion, if you can listen without the idea of thought, here is the basic key, to be able to respond without thought. It is my thoughts that limit the state of my faith. My thoughts need proof. My thoughts need belief. My thoughts need some kind of knowledge. My thoughts are useless and unnecessary. And if I am just allowing my thoughts to guide me from one thing to another, I will never have the authentic faith. I can have faith, or what I think is faith, or belief in an idea, a concept, but that doesn't mean it's faith. It's just a concept that I like, that I adhere to, because I think it will be in my best interest if I do so. True faith is unspoken. True faith is without thought. It is without mind. It is without desire, ambition, and pride. It is without everything. It just simply exists as love itself. And if you can understand that, Raymond, deep inside you, everything in this storm that we're in, there is a center point, the eye of the storm that is absolutely in utter peace. Utter peace. I teach my students, Raymond, three things: simplicity, solitude, and silence. And if I am allowed to help that student with those three things, intuition arises very quickly. And in that intuition, a loving kindness and an energetic that is absolutely sweet. This sweetness pervades everything in this world and brings us to a place where all things are possible. All things. But you have to get beyond the idea of thought itself and rationalizing thought. Thought is unnecessary. Love is everything. This universe is love. And when Jesus said God is love, he was taking away the myth of God as a man, as some sort of structured, egotistical person. He was saying it is all about love, and it is all about love. And if you can understand that, if you can get that, if you can move beyond the idea of a structured thought, then you have something very, very beautiful. Faith just is faith. It is not anything that is a part of the human experience at all. Just know that. Raymond, thank you for your beautiful question. I hope I helped you. Please forgive me. Namaste. For years, I have been answering questions like that. And it is always hard for me to explain the inexplicable. It just is very, very difficult. There are no words for the word faith. There is nothing I can even give you a metaphor for with it. It is something a person develops and develops through sometimes what we would call self-observation. It is something that is obvious yet not obvious to our senses, and that's the hardest part to explain. The last question comes from Tim. He does not tell me where he lives. Greg, can you really help people? Really? Tim, I help some. The majority of people don't understand. I don't know what you call help. Do you mean, do I help a person get what they want? No. Do I help a person understand what they cannot comprehend? No. Do I help a person at all, in any way, shape, or form? It depends on the person. I'm going to say this. You're not going to like it, but it's true. It all depends on the compassion you are looking for from within yourself. If you're a person who is looking for compassion, if you are looking for mercy, if you are intelligent and you are looking for something beyond the rational mind, then yes, I can help you a great deal. But if you're a pedestrian thinker and you only want what you can imagine in your intellect, you only want what you can think, as it were, then I probably am useless to you, because I don't live in the realm of helping people get what they want. I'm not in service to the ego that is manufacturing all the evidence that is necessary for anyone to believe the way they do. I don't live in that realm. So help is a relative term, relative to your intellect, relative to your mentality, relevant to the state of your emotionality and how far you go in emotion. It is relevant to all those things and even more. So I do service. What I do is Johnny Appleseed, if you remember the story. I remember watching it as a kid and being very impressed. I plant seeds in you, seeds that will grow if they're allowed to. And sometimes these seeds, they're thrown by the wayside. They don't hit fertile ground in a lot of people, but I'm not responsible for where the seed lands. I'm only responsible for the seed itself and throwing it to you. And I try to throw it in a place that is fertile in you, but that's a tough one because a lot of people just don't want to know. The majority of people that I have worked with over the years don't want to know. They just don't get it. They can only hear what their biology speaks. They can only listen to their genetic inheritance, and they miss the whole thing called their life. And to those people, I keep offering the seeds. One day or another, in one lifetime or another, they will germinate. They will flourish. They will heal. And that is the truth. I'm out of here. Thank you for your beautiful question, Tim. Forgive me. Namaste. Well, tomorrow I have more. I have more of a lot of things for you. I hope you'll tune in. Have a beautiful day. Thank you for listening, and please forgive me, eh? Namaste.